Hello, friends. Welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast with Megan Copeland and Kendra Bartlett. We are two best friends who live across the street from each other. We have a desire to see revival come in the Catholic Church. On this podcast, we talk about life and faith. We like to hear people's stories, but most of all, we spur each other on to live fully alive as Catholics. No more Sunday check the box Catholics for us. We invite you to come along on this journey with us and to let the Lord speak to your heart and enliven your faith. Hello, friends.
Hey, Kendra.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, James.
Hello. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you again.
So you guys know James. Yes. Most of you, some of you, a lot of you. He is the worship leader who's played at almost all of our events.
Yeah.
His Beloved nights. But he's also a youth minister.
I am.
Yes. And a good friend of ours. And we got to do a, what do we call it? Like a worship night, adoration night, mm-hmm. about a week ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
It was absolutely a blast. And thank you for having me and for the invite back. Thank you for the opportunity to be in ministry together and to work together. It's a lot of fun. I'm really excited to be here. I'm always like, I don't know. I always kind of get this feeling when someone asks me to contribute to something, like I don't really know what to do or what to say or like.
You only spend all of your life in ministry.
Exactly. And then when the time comes to like, it's like, oh, hey, here's an opportunity. It's like, okay, what are we going to do? It would be a lot more comfortable if I had a guitar.
Yeah.
And
I've made it my life's mission to constantly like push James in front of people and be like,
well, yeah,
look at James, look at James. He's
thank
so great.
You.
Yeah.
And he's sure. always like hiding in the background.
Thank
I'm like,
you.
No. Yeah. The Lord thank has anointed you. Him. Pay attention.
Thank you.
I know at our last big retreat that we did, we tried to put him like up close towards the stage. And he was like, no, I'm good. Just put me back here. He was like, no.
Pushed himself back to the corner. We're like, yeah. Okay, James.
Yeah. So to get started, I have some questions.
Great. Awesome.
Pretty simple. I'll go light on you.
Okay.
What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Wow. That's not a simple question. That is a tough question. So here's why.
Okay.
So I got COVID in 2021 and there are very few ice creams that I can actually taste.
Still to this day?
You can't taste.
I can't taste ice cream.
Can you taste other things?
I usually will only eat yogurt. I can't really taste frozen yogurt. I can taste, like yogurt, like out of the little container.
Oh, is it because of the cold?
I have no idea. I don't know. There's only a couple of flavors of particular brands of ice cream that I've been able to like taste.
Wow.
If it's like gelato, like something that's a little fattier, like I can kind of taste that. But before that, very sad episode in my life, it was cookies and cream.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I love cookies and cream too.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm great.
So then what's your go-to dessert then if ice cream's kind of out for the most part?
Go-to dessert. I like just about everything else.
Do you have a sweet tooth?
I do.
Yeah.
It's like a problem. Like I have to be careful. Any kind of cookies, any kind of cake, pie, whatever you got.
You want it all?
But yeah.
Yes.
Yep,
yes.
Exactly.
That's good. How would you describe the way you dance?
Oh my goodness. So
if
you ask my wife, she smiles real big and then says, "You're a great dancer," because she's
that's
very,
her nice answer.
Yes, because she's very and she wants to be very supportive of my learning to dance. She's a wonderful dancer. I am not. I would say that if I'm feeling pretty good, I'm a very creative dancer. Let's put it that way. But that's
flailing arms be part of that creativity?
I don't know.
Like, how big do you get when you dance? Are you
not super big? I try to kind of stick to what I know.
Side to side.
But everything comes back to like salsa and cumbia because what my
Got
family
that's
did
real dancing.
Growing up.
Yeah.
But I only know the basics of that stuff.
Okay.
But everything we can be like two-stepping and it'll come back to that because my feet don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Heard that Gen Zers say that they can tell when there's millennials in the building because they dance with their arms in the air?
And really?
Because that's like how we dance. So apparently you're not supposed to dance with your arms in the air anymore.
Why is that a bad
thing? Where do you put them?
Where do you put them?
In your pocket?
Like behind your back? I don't know.
To the sides?
No arm dancing.
What?
Apparently is a thing now.
That's
I love that I'm dancing even though no one can see us.
It's like
strange. Yeah. strange.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Anyways,
but when we were planning our night the other night, James called me and said, well, I have dance lessons in the middle of the adoration, so I might have to leave and come back before adoration starts, which I thought was adorable. So you're taking dance lessons with your wife.
We are. Yeah, we are. So she's, my wife, Christine, is a phenomenal dancer, has been dancing her entire life. Can do just about anything. Like we found this dance studio and we're going through the list of classes that they offer. And she's like, I already know how to do that. Just down the list. And it's not necessarily anything that she doesn't want to do again. It's just like finding something that's challenging for her is like not really out there. Especially if I'm supposed to keep up. Right.
Yeah. She's just the lead.
So we have to go to these beginner dance classes and she's basically like teaching me the steps before the dance instructor is teaching me the steps, and I'm still falling all over the place. But it's a lot of fun.
That's adorable.
It's great.
That is.
It's great.
That's really sweet. Mm-hmm. That's fun. What was your favorite toy as a kid?
My favorite toy as a kid, I had lots of Ninja Turtles.
Oh, me too.
I also had lots of Thundercats, and I had this their little home base thing, and it was like a giant robot Thundercat that like opened up, and they all could like fit in there and you could carry them around. And yeah, it was great.
That's super fun. Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo.
Of course.
Of course. Obviously. He's the cool one.
Yeah. My whole life always wanted to eat the pizza on Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. Like, which doesn't really exist because that's not a real thing, but it looks so good.
It does look good.
So I was like, why doesn't that exist in real life?
That's right.
It does look
so good. I was a huge Ninja Turtle fan.
That's so funny. I love that. If you didn't grow up in this era, which era would be best fit for you?
I would have fit in well and been a productive member of the greatest generation, like our grandparents' generation.
Your old soul.
I can see that.
I grew up hearing stories of both my grandfathers in World War II and kind of that. It's, of course, a very romanticized version of things, right? But watching war movies with my dad and stuff like that and kind of vicariously living in that era, kind of. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but experiencing it in that way. And it was always very, very fascinating to me. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. I love how women dressed in that time.
That's what I was thinking.
People dressed in general. Now, there was no air conditioning. So everybody, you know, that as nicely dressed everyone was just sweating.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
But they looked good.
The wool coats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the skirts and the hair. Gloves at mass. So beautiful. Yeah. I think romantic is a great way to describe it, like you said. Okay. If you could have one condiment attached to you for access at all times, what would it be?
Wow. One condiment. So right now I'm addicted to at HEB. They have that green sauce.
Oh, is it Mi Tienda?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's literally called that green sauce. It's their HEB brand. It's so good.
Uh-huh.
You
tried all the other? Are you talking about like the squeezy kind of sauces?
No. Okay. It's in a little jar. Salsa? It's refrigerated. It's like a salsa, but it's just
Well, try their
green.
Little squeezy the green taco sauces. Mm-hmm. There's like habanero. There's a red one, an orange one, a green one. There's like,
and we have your orange one in our fridge. We have a red and a green. Yeah, I think we do.
Everything. So, last night we ate Mi Tienda fajitas. Amazing.
Nice.
As good as Lupe Tortilla.
Nice.
Yum. Yes. It was
awesome.
Really good.
That's awesome.
That's a HEB brand, by the way. People from Texas.
If you don't have HEB, my heart breaks for you.
We're sad for you.
For sure.
Definitely breaks
for you. If you do have HEB, buy Mi Tienda.
My dad and his wife live in Virginia. My dad lived his whole life in Texas. They moved to Virginia for her job. There's no HEBs there. He comes back two or three times a year, and half the trip is like getting stuff from HEB. And figuring out how to pack it and then
flying home with
making
it,
making sure that they get home with
that
it.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
I would love hear his list.
Yeah.
That I know,
would be
right?
fun to see. Yeah. Your mustache from HEB. Yeah. This is totally off topic, but I was really excited because I went to HEB not too long ago and they have the garden stuff out and they had I love gardening. You know this. It's my happy place. And they had off to the side, like this shelving thing with plants that looked like they were dying. They had maybe like one dead leaf on them. I got plants like half off. It was nice. Like my happy day. I was like, look, Chris, look what I got. And he was like, I don't care because he doesn't do plants. So it was wonderful.
That's awesome.
So life hack, if you need plants, go look.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They also have Our Lady of Guadalupe
statues
usually.
Yeah.
Or St. Francis statues.
That's true.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so how long have you been married now? 2 years?
I've
been
married. We're coming up on 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. Okay.
Exciting.
I think I asked you this in the last podcast we recorded because you were recently married. But in the 2 years, what has surprised you that you didn't expect, that you like love about marriage.
So
because it goes both sides.
So I was actually just talking about this the other day with one of my young adults, maybe yesterday, about how he's in kind of marriage prep with his girlfriend. They're not engaged yet, but they're planning on it. And he was talking about, he asked me, he was like, is it normal that we talk so much, him and his girlfriend, that we talk so much about everything? And I was like, it's very normal. And that's a very good thing. It's a very good sign that you're very compatible if you can communicate. But it does seem like the things that we talked about in marriage prep, when my wife and I went through marriage prep, are so long ago. It seems like there is just so much. It's so intense. And intense in a really, really good way, in marriage. When you really dive into it, there's so much that comes at you, and it's such a big thing. And I think that you know, this sort of maybe becoming more and more a uniquely Christian teaching, that marriage is like the beginning of something, right? And you're not kind of settling down. You're actually kind of like leveling up, right? That idea that you're leaning into something so much greater. I think in my head I would have told, of course that makes sense, like that's how it's going to be. But realizing that in my heart and realizing kind of what that means for our relationship and our connection has been really amazing. Just the fact that it is so much bigger than you could possibly imagine before you're married. Even if you're someone like me who works in ministry and talks about the sacrament of marriage a lot, right? It's just such an intense experience.
That's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
I don't think we had that anywhere on our radar at 22. No. Like what the power of what we were entering into.
Right. Yeah. No,
that's cool.
Not like at all. Yeah. That's good.
You done? That's all you got? That's
it. The end.
You're just looking at me and I'm looking at you.
Okay, Megan.
Okay, cool. All right. So we just want to have James on because it's fun to talk to James. But also, you have a pretty incredible story that happened over the summer. Mm-hmm. And Kendra and I got to be a little part of that. And I've been dying for people to hear this story. And I thought maybe you might tell it at our retreat in September, but I forgot to tell you that. And then I thought he should tell it the other night. And so I would love for you to tell it now.
Sure.
So I'll just kind of start us off. So back last year, we did a retreat in Hutto. It was a big women's retreat. And we asked James to come and play, as we always do. And I think I asked him in like June, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the retreat wasn't until September. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see him much for the next 3 or 4 months until like a week before the retreat. Mm-hmm. We had a Zoom call with James and he told us this story, which kind of blew us away.
So you know, there's always, I think, things in ministry where you, you think you're going a certain direction, or you think that you're, I don't want to say ordained, that might not be the right word, but sort of the Lord has kind of like put a path in front of you and that path becomes really familiar and maybe even a little bit repetitive, maybe even to the point of it being like monotonous. And you're kind of like, okay, this is what I do. This is what I do in ministry, or this is what I do in my life with God. It's just kind of,
Well, you've been doing ministry for a long time now.
And so, that thing for me has always been, leading praise and worship, leading people in prayer. I guess would consider or would call like sung prayer, you know, where we're sort of mirroring what David did and really kind of letting some of that prayer go, letting some of those thoughts and feelings and desires, that conversation with God go in a uniquely musical way, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not necessarily just singing songs, but there's a real conversation happening again. Yeah. And I like to do that. I played music since I was 12 years old, and so I'm it's something that I feel like I'm pretty good at. I have some experience at, and it's a tool, a gift that I've been given by God, I think, to go and lead others closer to Him. And last winter, I guess maybe a little bit over a year ago, 14 months ago, I got a cold. I didn't really think that it was that big of a deal. I got a head cold. It's something that happens, you know, everybody gets allergies or a cold or something in the wintertime. And it just kind of lingered, right? It just kind of stuck around. And, into the, you know, the spring, you know, February, March, it kind of came and went a few times and kept coming back. And I slowly noticed, I remember one day I was like out for a walk or running or something. And I slowly sort of noticed that, it had moved kind of down to my mm-hmm. chest. And I was like, oh, okay, this isn't fun. Like, you know, so I go to the doctor. They thought I had allergies. They gave me an antibiotic. It didn't really go away. And so this cold developed, slowly but surely into pneumonia, right? Mm-hmm. It changed to pneumonia or I got pneumonia. And I don't know if you've ever had pneumonia.
Not really.
It's awful. It feels like you're out of breath all the time. Mm. And then, you know, when, if you're at like really, really, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but if you're at really high elevation, like up in the mountains or
yes.
something,
and the air
is really cold, like not just thin air, but like really cold,
yeah.
that sort of pinching
yes,
feeling you get
indeed.
In your chest.
Or when you're running outside when it's cold.
Exactly. It's like that all the time.
Wow.
Like that's, you know, what it felt like all the time. I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't stop coughing. It got really, really bad to the point that, you know, like I think Father Tom sent me home one day. Like it was like,
wow.
you can't just sit here in your office and cough. Like you have to go home. it just, you know, progressed and progressed and progressed. And so I didn't know this was pneumonia I was being kind of a stubborn guy. I didn't really mm-hmm. know this was pneumonia. And, with all the coughing, I mean, I couldn't even like I had to sit up in bed to sleep.
Oh, wow.
It was like terrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Pop you up.
It was funny because we went to Ireland for our honeymoon and we learned about, you know, how people lived in castles way uh-huh. back when. Right. And the majority of people, slept sitting up in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance because everybody had pneumonia. Like that was the thing. It would just, by the time you were like 25, 30 years old,
you just lived that way.
You just lived that way.
Man.
Right. So my wife was like, maybe it's just that, maybe you just have pneumonia now and you just, you know, and she teased me a lot, but, no, she took very good care of me. But it really, became a thing that I was like kind of desperate about. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really talk for long periods of time. I couldn't do any of the things that in youth ministry I would normally do.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is all kind of happening during confirmation season, at St. Vincent de Paul, where I'm the youth minister. And within, really within a couple of months, I was having to reevaluate everything that I normally did as a youth minister, the way I communicated with people, the way I built lesson plans, like all of it was having to change because it was like, I can't get up in front of teens and talk for more than 5 minutes without needing to sit down and like drink a glass of water mm-hmm. or something.
And we had no idea this was going on.
Yeah. And so,
which means I think we're not very good friends.
No,
should check on James.
It's also like, I'm an only child. I don't ask for help. I don't go to the doctor.
Really. I did see you in April.
You did.
That was the last time I saw you. I think it was like April to September.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big chunk there.
Yeah. And sometime in April was our confirmation retreat
mm-hmm.
and, put in a bunch of hours on that retreat. Felt like it was getting better. Really was sort of bolstered by the Holy Spirit and taken care of in that weekend. And then that next week, it all just kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't sing. I couldn't do what I'm doing now. I couldn't just have a normal conversation, right, or tell a story or anything. And I was really pretty brokenhearted about it. And even in my personal prayer life, I couldn't pray the way that I normally would pray. I'd been mm-hmm. given this tool, you know, my voice and my ability to play music, and been given this gift. And I feel like saying this very, as humbly as I can, making a return with that gift to God.
Yeah.
And, that gift was just like no more. And it was really kind of like I realized this after the fact, but it was like, God just sort of said, okay, well, let's see how our relationship is without this gift.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is this gift the sort of the medium for our relationship? And I realized sort of in that, very much a time of trial and error with prayer that I couldn't sit still and just pray. I couldn't,
Would you sing by yourself when you're praying?
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's just, playing music or sort of thinking in song
yeah.
or thinking sort of through songs that I like to pray. Right.
And, yeah.
And the thing was that I'd be thinking about that, I'd be doing that and then thinking, I can't sing this song.
Mm, it was a reminder.
Yeah. It was just sort of distraction. And so the fundamental sort of pieces, building blocks that I had there for my prayer life that I'd had for so long had sort of crumbled. They were gone. Mm-hmm. And so I got into this very frustrating conversation with God about like, what are you doing here? Like I am, trying to, like all of us trying to be better, trying to be holier, trying to keep moving forward in a relationship with you. And, you're taking away the one thing really that I can kind of depend on. Mm-hmm. Right. And the response that I got back from God in that prayer was, there really shouldn't be anything that you depend on except for me.
Mm. Wow.
Ouch.
And it was in your prayer life. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was convicting to the point that I was kind of questioning. I was questioning like everything, mm-hmm. All of the, when I worship, is my worship enough? Mm. Right. Like when I go to mass, like does any of that stuff up there that's going on the way that it's said, the way that, does that stuff really matter if mm-hmm. what God wants is really just me? Like it's all that stuff is there to get me to pay attention to him and to lean into him. Right. Mm-hmm. And not to scare anyone, it totally does matter. Right. That's the truth that I came back to was that yes, it does matter. And God puts that stuff in our lives. Not because he wants to kind of like hook us like a fish, but because there is a more perfect way to have a conversation with him mm-hmm. and to give him the worship that he's due. Right? Right. And that's different for every person depending on your relationship with him. But those parameters that he gives us, within the mass or within the liturgy are designed so that everybody fits, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Everybody sort of fits into that mold together. And that's a really beautiful thing that I'm sure you could do a whole podcast episode mm-hmm. about with Father Paul Michael. It'd be great. But it was really tough to kind of step back from what I knew of my own spirituality, of my own prayer life, and say, okay, that's for me. That's a gift from God for me. But mm-hmm. I don't exist because of that gift.
Right.
I'm not meant to, to love God in a particular way because of that gift necessarily. I'm meant to love God because God loves me first.
And he doesn't love you more because you have that
exactly.
gift.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's not that where his love comes
that
from.
That gift is actually just to highlight the fact that he loves me to show me that.
And so that other people can love him too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, I don't want to give away the ending, but eventually there was a real freedom in kind of recognizing that. And there's been some fruit of that in my prayer and worship. Obviously my voice has come back. I don't think I've coughed in this podcast, so that's good. But it took me a long time to realize that God was really trying to have a conversation with me about trust. Mm-hmm. And, there's this, this image, that I keep on sort of sticking with, in my prayer life right now. And it's from C.S. Lewis in the book, Mere Christianity. He gives this analogy for God and the question he's trying to answer for people is, doesn't God know all of the decisions that you're going to make, right? He already mm-hmm. knows if you're going to make the right decision or the wrong decision. So you really don't have free will, right? Like that's the argument.
Right. Yeah.
And his answer to that is to sort of trust like what God's role is.
Yeah.
Versus maybe what we think, like what his actual role is versus what we think his role is. Mm-hmm. Because God doesn't exist in time like we do,
right.
or he doesn't choose to exist in time like we do. Mm-hmm. He's more like an author who's writing a book about us, right? And he can see our life sort of progressing across time. Like the book is time. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this, right? But he sees sort of the beginning and the end of our lives,
yeah.
and he knows the twists and turns that our lives are going to take. And yet his presence is the same as the author. Yeah. His presence doesn't change, doesn't, you know, even when we offend him, when we push him away, when we tell him no, when we do those things, he's still 100% present. The way that an author is 100% present to their characters or to their writing or whatever. And as I've read through that a few times now, and each time that I do, I'm reminded that there's this, you know, the only thing that's constant in this relationship with God is God.
Yeah.
Right. And yes, that's a very simple thing, but it's a simple thing to say. It's not a simple thing to live. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we tend to put more pressure on God in those times of, you know, of our lives that are really, really difficult, or times where God takes away our voice, takes away our ability to really, you know, to give back to him, or to pray, or at least what we think is our ability. And then he kind of steps back and he says, I'm still here. And he wants us to recognize his presence, not in a sort of, hey, look at me. I'm in some kind of control over you, right? Or I have this great power over you. He does. He doesn't really need to lord that over us, though. Instead, he's saying, like, I am enough.
Yeah.
Right? I am enough for you, and my love is enough for you. And it's a message that we hear over and over and over again in Scripture. But it's also, I think, the first message that we forget, right? Mm, it is. Yeah. It's the first thing that sort of goes out the window when times get tough, or even when times are good, right? Mm-hmm. When things are going great, it's like, well, I don't, you know, what do I have to pray for? What do I have to pray about? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I hear that from my teens all the time that, you know, there's, you know, things are good, so I don't really talk much with God. It's like, well, okay. You know, that's not the point. The point is not whether or not things are good or bad or otherwise. That's been the real fruit for me spiritually is mirroring, you know, attempting, I guess, striving to mirror God's presence to me with my own presence to him. Mm. That's, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. That's what trust is. Trust in God really is being that consistent, presence in a way that not necessarily ignores everything else that's going on, but puts everything else that's going on sort of in its place.
Yeah. Perspective.
That my relationship with God is the number one thing in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't need any sort of side dish or anything to complement that in order for me to really appreciate it. Right. Yeah, if I can't appreciate my relationship with God for what it is, then that's a problem. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That's where God wants me to focus.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, Adam, wrong person, Abraham and Isaac, like the Lord's just saying, like, I know that is the most precious thing to you. And it's a gift that I gave you. Right. Cause like God gave Isaac as this amazing gift to Abraham that he thought he'd never have.
Yeah.
And then he asks him to lay it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he invited you into this place of laying down this gift that is a powerful gift, an amazing gift, a gift that brings people to him all the time. I mean, I see it over and over every time we get to worship with you. But I think there was also like another step to it too, of like, you are always giving in your prayer, and you're always giving in your worship, and you're giving to others. And it, to me, like, as you're saying this, I just had this like feeling in my heart of like, he was saying like, I just wanted to let you receive. Like there was a moment of, you don't need to be anything for anybody except for in this relationship with me and just receive what I have for you.
Which also takes trust.
Yeah. And so many times in my prayer life, you know, whenever our relationship with the Lord, any relationship that we have, you know, our spouse, anybody, there's, peaks and there's valleys, right? And those peaks specifically in my relationship with the Lord, those are moments whenever I feel close to him and like, there's just good feelings associated with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I go down to a valley, I want to recreate that feeling, and that closeness with him. But I do so by trying to recreate the moment that it happened, right? Or what I was doing in prior time.
Going back to the last one.
Yeah. And so instead of, and it's this whole renewal of the mind thing, instead of like his consistency, you know, it doesn't have to be what I did or whatever was happening, this perfect storm of things taking place for me to feel that. Like he is always consistent. I feel like that kind of what you've been saying kind of resonates with me with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a really like, you know, something recently in scripture that I read that it sort of blew my mind. I'd never really thought about it. And something we've all read 1,000 times, like after, Adam and Eve, are, you know, they fall, right. Mm-hmm. And they're in shame. They're hiding from God, and God has this, you know, conversation with them and punishments and all this kind of stuff. There's this really sort of, it's almost like a throwaway. There's no throwaway lines in scripture, but it's almost like this sort of line that's just kind of there. It's like, and he fashioned garments for them.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I remember sort of being mm-hmm. in this place and reading that. I was talking about it with some of my teens and reading that and going, how humiliating must it have been to, you know, you fall in the first place. You right. feel like you're in trouble with mm-hmm. God. God has this like huge reaction to mm-hmm. it, right? And not necessarily anger, but it's like a big deal that this mm-hmm. has happened. Okay. And God, you could tell that God's heart's broken, right? Because you've fallen. And then the person whose heart you've broken is so in love with you that they want to, like, they make you clothes to fix it. And you have to kind of stand there and wait for them to make you clothes mm-hmm. and wait for them to sort of bring about this solution. Yeah. Right. And I think a lot of times in our relationship with God, we want, you know, we want our prayer lives. We want the moments where we really encounter him or, you know, we want the, you know, the thing that sort of affirms our relationship with him to be that defining moment, mm-hmm. right? That okay, well, I went on this retreat and I felt God so powerfully, and I'm going to live from that place mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. But I think because we need to be saved, because we need like a savior, and because we have this concupiscence that drives us to sin, right? The place that we really wind up living from are those moments where God steps in to save us. Mm-hmm. Like God steps mm-hmm. in to like solve our problems, sometimes in a really humbling, sometimes humiliating way. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a real genuine beauty, I think, when we can kind of unpack that in our lives. There's this mm-hmm. really beautiful thing that happens where we start to live, I think, instead of avoiding sin or avoiding, you know, we start to live our lives pursuing, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, beatitude. We start to live our lives pursuing holiness and recognizing that I'm still going to mess up. I'm still going to fall, but God's going to be there in that moment. He's going to be not more present, but we'll be more present to him. Yeah. If we're the ones really looking for those holy ways that we can step forward, those things that we can do better. Right.
Yeah. That's so good. When you first said he fashioned the clothing for them, it just made me think of like in their deepest shame, mm-hmm. he was loving
exactly.
them. Like he was showing like even in his heartbrokenness, like he's showing them love.
Yeah.
He's giving them a way out
exactly.
of his heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And I just had a hard conversation with a friend who is in that place of deep shame. And what a, what a gift to go back to that moment in mm-hmm. scripture and say mm-hmm. like, this is like, this is the most opportune moment you have right now, right? Mm-hmm. You can either go inward into this place of shame and guilt and think that you've given up, like the world is, you know, there's no way out of this. Mm-hmm. Or you can take the hand of the Father that's reaching out for you saying like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you these clothes and mm-hmm. I'm going to show you a way out of this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so easy to take the first route for a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
It's so easy to think that there's no way God could ever love me enough mm-hmm. in this place of deep, like, I know I'm broken. There's no way I can ever get out of it.
Yeah.
But just the great love of the Father. Like he's always just like reaching and pulling you back in. And mm-hmm. that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Another thought, kind of building on that. So Philomena, my oldest at their school, they've been studying the book of Genesis mm-hmm. and she had to actually give a panel today. She's probably doing it like right now,
that's a big deal.
Just defending her thesis statement, about the book of Genesis. And what they've been arguing is, the things that have taken place in the book of Genesis, has it been God saying, be obedient to me, or God saying to trust me? Mm-hmm. And her whole, she actually brought up Abraham and Isaac, and she was practicing with me like 500 times yesterday. She's doing so good. But I think there's a shift that some people operate out of, I'm in my place, God is in his, I need to be obedient to him and stay in good standings with him. But in reality, all those things that have taken place, even the hardships, like, you know, Abraham being asked to kill his own son, of Joseph being sold into slavery by his own brothers. Mm-hmm. But those are all acts of God just saying, trust me, I have you. And mm-hmm. same with you with losing your voice and your whole prayer language was taken away. It wasn't an act to smite you or to like whip you into shape or say, be obedient to me. You stepped out of line. It's his deep love. Saying, trust me, I have you. Right.
And that's not the end of the story for any of us, right?
No, exactly. Like
God brings this beauty out of that trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not the end of your story either. One of the things I wanted to share before you tell the end of the story is when we spoke to you in September and we had no idea any of this was going on. And you were like, yeah, I haven't sang in 4 months, but we have a retreat in like 5 days. Yeah. And I don't know if I can sing at that. There was a joy in your eyes that I hadn't seen in years, honestly. There was a peace
and freedom.
There was a freedom. Yes.
Yeah.
And we were on Zoom, so we weren't face to face, but you just had this look of like, no, I know God now. Like I met him.
Yeah.
And we had this great time the last few months. It was hard and it sucked, but now, now we're on the other side of it. And you were like, I'm just fully surrendered. And I'd never seen that level of surrender in you before. It was like tangible. You could feel it.
Yeah.
So there was definitely a series of events throughout last summer, that sort of culminated in the mission trip that we go on each July, where I'm very privileged to get to be a part of the leadership team for that trip and to work with some really, really wonderful youth ministers from throughout the diocese that just make it a fantastic event. Mm. It's also just fantastic and humbling to work with the people that God brings you to. Yeah. We had some incredible families and incredible young people that we worked with. We go to San Juan, Texas. We stay at the Basilica of Our Lady of San Juan. And
you stay at the Basilica?
It's fantastic.
That's cool.
It's really cool. There's a pilgrim house there and a retreat center there. So we stay on the premises
that's
there. But praise and worship is a big part of that. That week. And so last July, I was kind of in the throes of this issue and really sort of contemplating what my role was going to be as part of the worship team and you know, leading some talks and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of physical activity, so I didn't really have an option. Like I couldn't just lay there in bed and rest. So it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to really pick my battles in terms of, you know, talking with people and that kind of thing. And by this time I'd gotten some antibiotics. So those were helping. In fact, I think I started taking some really like high level, like antibiotics, the week before mission. And my doctor had said, you really don't need to go on this trip. And I was like, sorry, I'm going.
I have to.
And
I
so,
want to.
Yeah. And so, so I went, I finished the antibiotics maybe like halfway through the trip and felt better. And was feeling that, you know, sort of relief, but was still coughing and still sort of doing all that stuff. So we were blessed with an additional worship leader who was fantastic. So I just got to kind of sit in the back and play guitar and like pray in my head for a week.
Wow.
And I didn't know it at the time, but it was like the exact thing that I needed. I think going into the first couple of nights, I was like, oh, I really wish I could lead XYZ song because I feel like it'd be perfect, you know? And then one of the other worship leaders would pull out a song and it would be more perfect. And I would just get to sit back and play guitar and kind of focus on whatever conversation needed to be happening in my heart with God. And I remember by like Thursday of that week being like, this is exactly what I needed. And I had no idea. I had no idea that I needed it. I had no idea that God was going to bring it to me in this way. And he picked these, you know, 8 days to not only sort of like flesh that out and like show me this path, this sort of new path of prayer, but he was willing to give me back, you know, that same feeling that I would normally get from leading worship in, you know, in a completely different way, like through just sort of being in the room and being present to it. Mm-hmm. And it was not only profound in the sense that it like made me feel good and gave me joy and gave me, you know, kind of this renewed sense of purpose. It was also really profound in the sense that it allowed me to let go of that gift a little bit. Wow. It allowed me to just kind of step back and go, you know,
grip on it.
This is not the most important thing. This is not who I am. It's like when God says, you're my beloved son, it's not you're my beloved son, comma, and a guitar player. Like,
right. It's not your identity.
That's not it at all. And so being able to assume that role as a beloved son in a way that was more simple, where I'd taken off some of those walls, right?
Or right.
Taken down some of those walls, some of that armor, was just so powerful. Mm-hmm. And so I got home, I got some rest. I really started to feel better in the week sort of after mission, but I was pretty scared to sing because it was like, I think on the mission trip, I sang a total of maybe two songs and they were tough. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, okay, he sang a verse and then he coughed a lot and then he sang a verse, that kind of thing. So when it was like, okay, we're going to meet for this retreat. Didn't we meet in the chapel at St. Vincent de Paul?
I think that was a different retreat that we met in the chapel. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's right. We met on Zoom. I'm there on this Zoom call. I let Meg and Kendra know that it had been X amount of days since I'd really tried to sing.
And to our credit, we did not freak out.
No,
that's nice. Okay.
They were just like, oh wow. Okay. Well, we're gonna pray for you. And I was like, okay. And they prayed. I don't think I coughed. So y'all prayed for me. It was like, I don't know, like noon, like around lunchtime on that day, whenever that day was. And we had 8 or 10 days, I think, until the retreat. Mm-hmm. I didn't cough for like that entire time. And then maybe 3 weeks after the retreat.
Wow.
I did not cough one time. Like it got to the point where I was, you know, I told my wife, I was like, that prayer was powerful.
It was powerful.
Like between the antibiotics and the Holy Spirit and just having, that's another thing, like having people pray over you, letting go enough to say, I need help with this gift that I've always been able to bring to the party. Yeah. I need help. Right.
Right.
That freedom was so powerful, like just so overwhelmingly powerful that it had a physical, you know, there was a physical effect on my body. My body was healed from that. I believe from that freedom. Yeah. It was really, really amazing. Too. And so, you know, I can sing, I can play, I can do whatever,
you
right?
Dance.
sometimes, depending on who you ask. Yeah. But what that whole experience, and this is kind of that other fruit that I was talking about, that whole experience has allowed me to do is to say, okay, where are the other worship leaders in our youth program, in our parish, in our, you know, among our teens, even that need a little encouragement, that need, you know, to kind of be developed a little bit. Where can I kind of take a step back and kind of say, hey, let's let, you know, this parent or that parent sort of lead this, and whatever message they have for the teens that night, we're going to pray over them. They're people that are, you know, in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through them because James is not going to be the guy in the way, right? Mm, he's not going to be the guy trying to control everybody's experience.
It's that freedom piece.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Unleash the Holy Spirit.
And if you'd have asked me 2 years ago, I think I would have been aware that that was potentially a problem, but I might not have known the ways in which I was doing that so profoundly, right? And so, you know,
we've both had an experience of that in the last probably year or two also of just like, instead of trying to control ministry, it's like, I'm just going to be completely open-handed and just let the Lord go because he's going to be better at it than I could ever be.
For sure.
And how great of a lesson is that for like the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Right.
Just be open-handed.
Yeah. Like there's so many things that I think we choose to, my wife and I talk all the time about the things that we choose to stress out about as a choice. And it's like, it's a hard choice and it's an easy choice to make a lot of the time, but it's so much easier when you can step back and go, I'm going to give this to someone else.
Yeah.
Right. And if it's someone else that's like the person in the next room, great. Mm-hmm. But if it's the Holy Spirit even better. Like, yeah. I'm going to give this to God because I'm not meant to carry it alone. Yeah. Right. And, mm-hmm. and you know, the things
and he desires your good.
He desires yeah. your good.
He's not, exactly. he's not waiting for you exactly. to give it to him so he can be like, bam, you're out. Like, that's just not how he operates.
Wrong.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
You screwed up,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
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 What was really cool on that day, we were on the Zoom call because you weren't going to be there for some reason. You had something yeah, else going something. On and it was just going to be James and I was like, the last minute Kendra logged on. And if you hadn't, I don't think we would have, because I think you were the one that was like, well, let's pray now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Was it? I remember it being you. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it was just know. Having you there. Anyways. And
didn't we have like lots of technical issues like until we started
yes.
praying?
I think so, we did. Yeah. Yeah. We had to like hang up a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it
yeah,
was like all of a sudden there was this major shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
the atmosphere changed.
The yeah. atmosphere changed. Yeah. Even though all three of us are in different buildings, yeah. you know, just yeah. through
Holy
some.
Spirit,
yeah. It was so powerful. And, I think that's like one of those moments I'll never forget. Like it was just this Same, moment yeah. of like deep Holy Spirit. And I had this vision, it still makes me laugh, of when we were praying over you, of that scene in The Little Mermaid when...
this is going to be great.
I think I said this to you that day, but maybe it happened so fast that it didn't make sense. But the more I thought about it afterwards, I was like, no, that like actually really was from the Lord. But no, I had that scene from The Little Mermaid where like her voice has been stolen. Uh-huh. And at the end where it's like been put back into her. And mm-hmm. there's just this like power that comes mm-hmm. out of her. And she's like discovered who she is. And there's this amazing like identity that's happened. And it was like you and your voice had been stolen. And it was mm-hmm. the Lord saying like, I'm giving it back. Mm-hmm. And I saw it like mm-hmm. flow back into nice. You. And after that, it was just like... We kind of said, well, do you think we should have a backup singer just in case? And James was like, no, I think I'm good. Like, I think yeah. I've got this. Yeah. And there was just this
holy assurance.
Yeah. yeah. There was just like this, yeah, assurance in your heart. Like there was mm-hmm. no fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe that was the difference. Like in the past, I think we would have tried to like control things and make sure there was, you know, it was all right. But there was just this freedom in you mm-hmm. that was like, no, God's got this. Like mm-hmm. we're going to be fine. And of course the retreat was probably the most powerful thing I've ever gotten beautiful. To be a part of.
Yeah.
Like the way that the Lord that moved awesome. In that place
yeah.
was amazing. And the whole time, like listening to you sing the very first song, I was like, is it going to happen? Cause you still were like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can sing. Yeah. And, but the whole weekend long, I just kept thinking like, these women have no idea mm-hmm. this journey that the Lord has taken James on. And the fact that he's even here singing, like, this is like he's yeah. a miracle right now.
Yeah.
Like singing in Thank order you. To invite them Praise into, God. Yeah. yeah. I mean, yeah. like God had done these amazing things behind the scene of just preparing the way. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you for the prayers and for the constant, talk about consistent, like the incredibly consistent encouragement and support in ministry. It's always amazing working with y'all. And
yeah,
if you've to anyone Thank out there you. Listening, if you haven't had the opportunity to get prayed over by and Megan, it's pretty awesome. You should make that put that on your bucket list. It's pretty great.
I feel bad. There's a couple people who've asked for prayer that we haven't done. So we
yeah, we need to
hunt those
yeah.
people down and pray.
But
with
at
them.
The same time, also you and your circle, don't be afraid to just say, hey, let's pray right now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. don't say, oh, I'll pray special. For you and then walk away.
Yeah.
It's yeah, we didn't.
Yeah,
do
we're not anything.
Anything.
It's only the
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, it's the Lord and that same Jesus wants to work through you too. So mm-hmm. be open-handed and just say, hey, let's pray right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
yeah,
go. Absolutely.
Yeah. I still think it's so cool too, though. Like when we first had our very first His Beloved night, which was almost 5 years ago?
I think so.
Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
something like that. The way that the Lord brought us together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I always say like, if James hadn't been there, His Beloved probably would have never happened.
So
like,
true.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. God brought us together for a reason mm-hmm. and you have brought so much to this ministry.
Yeah.
Cause if Thank we you. Hadn't had, I mean, your yes to the Lord and the way mm-hmm. you use your voice just changes the atmosphere in the room.
Thank you.
Immediately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just started this women's ministry at St. Patrick and I didn't originally ask James to lead worship because I thought he was busy. I didn't want to like annoy him. And he was like, sent me a message like, hey, I lead worship. I was like, oh yeah, I know you do. I love your worship. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so he jumped on board with us for that. And I had no fear after that. Like once James said, yes, he was going to lead worship. Mm-hmm. I was like, this
Science
is going to
be delivered. It's yeah, going to be amazing.
Like, this is
yeah.
just going to be a powerful,
yeah.
powerful women's ministry, a powerful night. Like the Lord, I don't know. There's just something that when you say yes, God moves.
Thank you.
And
thank
I,
you.
And I hope that you really do believe
that,
me when I say
and
that.
I say that thank you very, very humbly because it is hopefully. And I work for it to be just God sort of moving through me. Mm-hmm. You know, Father Wade Russell, he wasn't the first one to say this, but Father Wade used to say, like, to, you know, one of his prayers used to be, make me transparent. Mm. Right. That when people come in, you know, when they come into Mass and they hear a homily, that they're just hearing Jesus speak.
Yes.
And maybe they're, he used to say all the time, well, you know, maybe they're hearing Jesus sound like a guy from South Texas, right? but they're hearing Jesus speak in a way that they understand. And that's really the goal in I know in this ministry as well. Mm-hmm. Even in the, you know, even in the podcast, is you want to give Jesus the room and the opportunity to be amplified. Right.
Right.
And, so it is a humbling thing. It's, I think, something that you encouraged everyone. Yeah. Just pray. Don't be afraid to just pray wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever's going on, just pray. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to even have that kind of trust. When a lot of times Jesus feels so, the Lord feels so mysterious. He feels so out there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So far away sometimes. Again, it's like that. It's like C.S. Lewis said, he really is like an author who cares about all of his characters, and he's there for, present to all of his characters, and he's writing your story. So that's kind of what faith is. That's kind of what trust is just recognizing that he's present, mm-hmm. and that you have to be present too. And it's really hard. It's really, really hard, but don't be discouraged. There's a lot of fruit in, you know, sometimes the prayer is like, God, where are you? This is really frustrating, but it's still a prayer, right? Yeah. And it's still something that God is going to respond to.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of fruit in just sticking with it.
I heard someone say recently, it might've been on one of our encounter videos, they were talking about like when you go to a concert and it's like your favorite scene, and I'm the worst at this, so this is like so me. It's like this person that you love, Matt Maher, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're at a Matt Maher concert. All I ever want to do is meet Matt Maher. But then when it comes time to actually meet Matt Maher, I'm like super awkward and I won't go anywhere near him because I'm so afraid that I'll like take his time, right? Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't have time to talk to me.
Yeah.
And if I were to talk to Matt Maher, I might say like two words and then run away. That's pretty much how that would go down. Or I would just stand behind somebody very awkwardly because he's in a hurry, right? Like he has a whole line of people and everybody wants to have time with him and they're all just waiting and vying for time with him. But like when you go into adoration with the Lord, all he has is hours for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yes, there's a whole line of people, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody is there for, they're all there to see Jesus.
Right.
But he's able to multiply his heart and his time and his life. And so you're like never taking someone else's spot. And some people I think actually believe that, like, oh, he doesn't have time to worry about what I worry, what I'm worried about. Like, no. Like he's so, it's like having your own personal time
one
with Matt Maher.
God.
All he cares about is you and the whole world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Just like that moment of just being able to be so close to him. And I was like, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I like
that's
that.
Good. That's so true.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Should we do What's God Doing in Your Heart right now?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Sounds
awesome.
Great.
That went by fast.
It did. It's been 52 minutes. That's why I have to watch the time. All right. You want to go first?
Sure. So I love spring. Spring is like my favorite, absolute favorite. And, God is just so vibrant in spring, not more than any other season, but there's so many signs of his goodness in life that take place with the birds chirping and the trees blooming and, you know, new plants coming up that we thought died in the freeze and things like that. The sunsets are just incredible. The other night I saw one out my front window and it looked like a gender reveal party. There was like blue and pink and it was just gorgeous. And I just love how good he is. And so he's just been, you know, reminding me and allowing me just to slow down and take it all in, you know, sitting on my front porch the other day, just listening to the birds or reading my Bible and sipping my coffee. And it was like the best ever. And he's just so good. He's just so good.
Yeah. I got out of my car. Was I getting out of my car?
Yeah.
I was doing something. And she was like, Hey, come over here.
See her over there.
And I was like,
sit down with me.
She goes, I'm listening to the birds. Did the birds sound beautiful? And I was like, okay, what are we doing? Sure. So we're having this like deep conversation and every few minutes. She goes, don't the birds sound beautiful? Yes, they do, Kendra. She also brought home one of those flowers from HEB and planted it in my front yard with Tessa. So there's like
one flower.
Nice. So she planted it in my garden.
Yes.
Very cute. Very cute. You're funny. This is life living across the street, Kendra.
What about you?
Well, for me, I've talked about this a lot lately, but I'm in grad school and every week of grad school, I think I'm going to die. And I think I have made the worst decision of my entire life. And so last week, I kept waiting and waiting for the professor to give us like information about this paper that he wanted us to write. And I thought the paper was going to be, I don't know, like 1,000 words or something. And he never gave us any information on it whatsoever, ever. And I finally realized that like what he'd given us was all he was giving us and that it was supposed to be 4,000 words. And I was like crying.
And on a topic that you can't talk 4,000 words on, right?
Like, well, that's what I thought. I was like, it's supposed to be analyzing a website. How am I supposed to analyze this website for 4,000 words? Like, what the heck am I going to write? There's no, I don't know how to do this. I've been out of college for way too long. I don't even know how to write. Like, I'm like spiraling out of control. And every time I do this, the Lord's like, calm down, Megan. And he even said to me one time, I said, I can't do this. And he said, you can't do this by yourself, but I never asked you to do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So every week I freak out. And then every week he just like, it's like, here you go. This is exactly how we're going to do this. So it turns out, and I thought maybe it was a typo that I wasn't really supposed to write 4,000 words. He did say that was the maximum. So it wasn't a minimum. So I was like, that I can work with. And I started writing the paper and I just feel I got it done. Like it's due That's today great. And I got it done, but it was on John 6 was what I had chosen weeks ago. And I'm really glad I chose John 6. So it was supposed to be like a Protestant, Bible commentary on John 6, the mental gymnastics that had to take place.
Wait, so you had to write a Protestant.
I was reading a Protestant commentary on John 6 and then analyzing it from Catholic perspective.
Did you have to give like the Catholic rebuttal?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So, ooh, I want to read your paper.
So what this guy did, and I made Chad read it. So what this guy did was he wrote his own commentary basically, and then he pulled from other theologians like Spurgeon and some of these other like really well-known Protestant theologians. Yeah. And the section when Jesus says, this is my flesh, eat of my flesh, they're like losing their minds. Mm-hmm. They can't come up with a reason as to why Jesus would say, this is my flesh.
Yeah.
And like, and I even said, like, it feels like they're doing mental gymnastics because they're having to like come up with all these, like, it's like squirrel, like, look over here, look over there. Yeah. Like there couldn't be that Jesus is actually speaking about the fact that he was giving us his body and his blood.
Yeah.
And so it was just really like affirming to me of like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I spoke on Sunday night randomly. I was not supposed to. And I just like jumped in and taught on the Eucharist to the kids and Eucharistic miracles. And when I started talking about the host turning into the blood, there a pin could have dropped in that room. Like the looks on their faces, they were like, what is she talking about? they never heard of it.
Wow.
And one of the small group leaders afterwards said, one of his kids was like, what's the Eucharist? And I was like, oh, I didn't explain what the Eucharist was. I assumed you knew that part.
Yes.
So anyways, I'm just having this like, it's kind of twofold. One is like continuing to trust God in the heart of all these hard things. And two is like a revitalization of, you know, just pouring into people about the Eucharistic revival and who God is and who we are as Catholics. And like, it's lighting a fire in me, which is fun.
That's awesome.
So, that's awesome.
How about
a bonfire? Awesome. Cause I've always had a fire under you.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's getting bigger and bigger.
Fire.
That's good. He's adding logs.
That fire to spread.
That's awesome.
How about you, James? What are you up to?
You know, I mean, the things that we've been talking about, trust.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing has been about what God's doing in your heart.
Yeah, and certainly trust is a big part of that, you know, and being, you know, fairly newly married and kind of figuring out, you know, kind of, what marriage is and how it's supposed to work and how it's much bigger than anyone realizes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really been a really beautiful thing to have God work on sort of in my heart. I think for me, you know, in that same context, it's really kind of about giving God his, giving God my first fruits, right? So whether that's in, my marriage, in my job, in, you know, my personal prayer life, in my hobbies, whatever, inviting God into those places, and having him be a regular participant. Right. That he's invited all the time. That knowing that God is not like that boss that shows up to like one meeting a month, he's not that kind of a boss, right? He's the kind of boss that wants to be there for all of it and wants to celebrate all of it and wants to console you when you need consolation. Like he wants to be invited into all of it. And so, you know, finding the opportunities in myself, in my own life to like invite him. And to kind of say, hey, like, I really need your help here. Or, hey, I want, you know, you know, my wife and I are going to, you know, turn off the TV and talk about you for a little while, like that, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, finding more of those opportunities. And then I think, like maybe a little more professionally, he's really giving me some challenges as far as like next steps, mm-hmm. steps for ministry and kind mm-hmm. of where the ministry of St. Vincent de Paul goes and where sort of a more personal ministry might go. And, mm. And that's very exciting. It's all, you know, there's a lot of stuff sort of out in the ether right now with mm. that, but it's exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Want to hear more God. About that.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, James.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks wonderful. For your witness.
If you live in the Austin area and you want to come worship with us, mm-hmm. The fourth Tuesday of the month, every month, we will be at St. Patrick in Hutto mm-hmm. doing a women's night, and teens are invited also. Mm-hmm. So yep. if any young girls want to come, and so our next one's Holy Week,
yeah,
which I think it's will very be cool.
a great time to
really,
have it.
It's very exciting.
Really cool. Yeah. I told you about the Song of Songs, right?
Yes.
So Kendra and I, yeah. So Kendra and I were, when we were planning that retreat that didn't happen, mm-hmm. We just really felt called to speak on Song of Songs. Mm-hmm. And we did a little bit in our Lenten or our Advent journal, and we got so many comments back from people like mm-hmm. wanting more. And so we were like, well, I don't really know how that fits in with Palm Sunday. Like, I don't think that really works together. And so, but hey, we'll do it. Sure. Like whatever, Lord. And then when we canceled that, Father Piego said, well, why don't you use that for one of your nights at, the well. And so since then I have discovered that the Song of Songs was traditionally read during Passover, which would have been Holy Week for us. Wow. And so,
isn't that cool?
That is cool.
It's super cool, yeah. Right? And
yeah.
And I really, really. So this is my job for the next couple of weeks is like to dive deep into this. So this is going to be a talk I've never given before, and I don't know where we're going with it, but I just really want to figure out where the Hebrew tradition would have come from and why they would have read Song of Songs before mm. Passover.
Yeah.
Because to me, those don't necessarily seem like there's something that would go together. Cause Song mm-hmm. of Songs is so much about the love of God, and yeah. it's so intimate and it's so like heart to heart, beautiful. Mm-hmm. But the Passover is the greatest thing that God had ever done for his people. Mm-hmm. So it was the mm-hmm. greatest mm-hmm. act of love that had ever existed on the history of the earth yeah. until Jesus died. Right. And all of that is
and
in the same week.
Turning.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing the next couple of weeks.
That's fun.
Diving into that.
So maybe it's the St. Jerome thing. And this just popped into my head where St. Jerome says the Old Testament is the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed, right?
Yeah.
So, ooh. so maybe you can't really, you know, makes, and I don't know, I haven't done the research you have. Maybe you can't really make sense of Song of Songs and Passover yeah. without Jesus. Like maybe Jesus yeah. is the balanced side of the equation, right? Where
totally.
Like you have to have,
well, and it's the Song of Songs is the foreshadowing of mm-hmm. Jesus too.
Right,
it's
right.
like, I'm going to keep reminding you of my love every mm-hmm. year in the mm-hmm. Passover so well, that when my son comes
right,
and dies
yes.
the week of the Passover, you will know my love.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Boom,
that's what I was
y'all.
Thinking.
Okay. Yeah. This is going to be fine. I'm excited.
It's very cool.
I don't know where
that's cool. awesome.
I don't know where the Holy Spirit's going with it, but
I'm gonna
it's going to be cool.
I'm going to go read Song of
yeah,
Songs.
Yeah, no, me too.
So read it from the Passion Translation.
Yes.
Okay.
You can just Google Song of Songs, yeah. Passion Translation. It's a lot.
It's beautiful.
It makes more sense.
Okay.
Like to, mm-hmm. it's not
instead
as
instead of a literal word sure. for word translation, it's as the sentence as a whole. What is the
it's
whole
a meaning
of
from
it
in translation
in our language? It's okay. powerful.
It's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Every chance we get to meet with you and talk about Jesus just brings so much joy to our hearts. I pray that the revival is coming, and I pray that the revival is coming through you. Did you know that you're part of this? I pray that every single day you grow more in love with Jesus, you hear his voice more, you follow him more, and I pray that this podcast is helping you a little bit along that way. If you are liking what you're hearing, we would love for you to share it with a friend. We would love for you to make a review on your podcast app, Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and email us if you ever have any questions or you just want to share what God did in your heart today during the episode. See you next week.